There you go.
Thank you. The first item that actually doesn't appear on the agenda, but is a matter of business which we are considering under the urgency procedure rules, is the election of the chairman of the subcommittee. So please could I call for nominations to that position?
Councillor Bernard Lovewell.
Second.
And do we have any other nominations?
No.
Councillor Lovewell, would you like to come to chair the meeting?
Yes, thank you very much.
Sit there,
Chairman.
What comes to you?
I'll sit here. It's an amazing part of this committee that every time we meet, we seem to have to elect a chairman. So, and I think we've got another one in the calendar next time we don't have to elect a chairman, which will be very good. Right. Apologies for absence. We have no apologies for absence, thankfully. The minutes of the last meeting, which was held on the 6th of December 2017, have they read and do you approve the minutes?
I wasn't here, so I can't comment.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Notification of other business. We have no... No notification of any other business. Chairman's announcements. I make the normal announcement that any declarations of interest in respect of any business set out in this agenda should be declared as either disclosable pecuniary interest or declarable interest, and are required to notify the chairman of the nature of any interest declared at the commencement of the relevant item on the agenda. Members declaring a disclosable pecuniary interest must withdraw from the meeting for the duration of the item. Members declaring a declarable interest wish to exercise a council speaking right must declare this at the same time as the interest, move to the public area before speaking to the item, and then must leave the room before the debate and vote. And as we all know, that if anybody does declare an interest in that way, that we would not be quorum. Public participation. The public gallery is empty, so there is no public participation. So we get on to the meat of this afternoon's meeting now. Item 6, the council proposals to acquire 14 and 15 Brand Street. An update, Howard, I believe.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. Can I first of all point out a couple of... errors in the numbering errors in the report with the copying and pasting and adding in of various paragraphs. A couple of things have gone askew. At paragraph 813, that should reference paragraphs 8.5 to 8.12, and at paragraph 12.2, it should reference paragraph 819. Just a clarify those.
I think there's one other, Howard.
Oh, is there?
Well, I rather suspect
help me out with that, you?
8.8 should reference 7.6 rather than 7.8. Or else I'm struggling.
Yes, that is correct. Thank you. Thank you for pointing that out.
Thank you.
Resolve that. I'd just like to make it clear that what you're not here today to do is to debate the settlement agreement itself. That is a matter for Cabinet and the Council, and that is going to be considered by Cabinet later on this evening. What you are here to do is to decide whether the settlement agreement is in the best interests of the Trust. Now, the report points out in Section 7, the various iterations that there's been of the development agreement. This was the agreement that was entered into as far back as, I think, 2013, which was between the council and Hitchin Town Hall Limited, and it incorporated the trust property and the arrangements that were going to be made for the trust property. There's been several changes to that, and they're highlighted in paragraph in section 7. Now, the new arrangements that are proposed by the settlement agreement are covered specifically at paragraph 8.2, because the settlement agreement will now terminate that development agreement. So there is now no I suppose the most significant part of that was that under the previous arrangements, the 14 of 15 Brand Street was going to be put into the was going to be given in trust. I think is the right phrase, isn't it? Yeah, trust. Yeah, to the trust, and then was going to be operated as the museum. Under the settlement agreement, the 14 and 15 Brand Street will come into the ownership of the council, and so the whole of the site will be operated and run by the council. Now, you need to consider whether this is in the best interests of the trust. The officer recommendation strongly is that it is. It has to be in the best interests of the trust to get the museum open and open to the wider public, rather than the sort of very restrictive opening that we've had for the last year or so. And in all reality, if you wanted to object in any way, shape or form, it would actually be very difficult for you to do so, mainly because you don't have any money to pursue it. But probably more of a hurdle would be the fact that it would be the council taking action against the council, which is clearly a nonsense and can't be done. So I think that more or less covers off what needs to be considered. I have my learned friend to my left here who can answer any legal requirements and questions that you may have. Thank you.
Thank you, Howard, very much. Have we any questions? Bear in mind that we have we can go into part two. We need to, but so bearing that in mind, have you any questions to ask of officers? Julian.
I'm fairly sure I understand this, but just to make absolutely clear in my own mind, 14 and 15 Brand Street are not and never have been part of the trust property.
That is correct.
Therefore, our interest tonight, apart from 14 and 15 Brand Street effectively being the entrance to the museum,
yep,
which is trust property,
yep,
is about the upstairs access, which is currently not available because of that problem, but is trust property.
That is correct as well.
And therefore, I can satisfy myself that it is in the interests, because 14 and 15 Brand Street is a passageway, as I understand it.
It's an entrance.
And I might struggle to convince myself that that was in the public interest. But I can convince myself that the upstairs bits,
yeah,
making them available, is in the public interest.
It is an entrance, but it also bars access to certain of the trust buildings, certain of the trust property, yeah, rooms.
Yeah. Yeah. So I can, because there is an alternative access, and if you're being picky, you could say that it's not absolutely necessary to have 14 and 15 Brand Street to access the museum, but I'm not trying to be picky, I just want to make absolutely, yeah, certain that we're in an unchallengeable position on this,
yeah,
that the availability of the upstairs rooms, which are currently unavailable as I understand it, are almost in themselves sufficient grounds for us determining it is a public benefit.
Yeah.
That's correct, yeah.
That's correct.
In proceeding with the settlement agreement, it provides access to those upstairs rooms.
Good. There's also rooms downstairs as well, which is where the IT is situated, and we've been,
you'd know that,
we've had our fingers crossed for a couple of years now that nothing serious has gone wrong with the
IT. Is that how IT works? Do you cross your fingers?
I knew that. A couple of others, if I may. 10.1 talks about the cost. It's not desperately relevant, but £187,000 is the cost, is the expenditure to the trust. I presume that after netting out the cafe cost is the cost of the museum staff. Because it can't be any other costs, it will have insurance.
It will be things like business rates as well, all those kind of costs. There's all sorts of costs that are portions to the trust element of the property.
And it is just a surprising high figure. I think the only other point which concerned me is, and it probably comes back to your point, Howard, that the council is both the trust, we're not the trustees, the council is the trustee, but the ongoing agreement between the subcommittee and the, or the trust and the council, presumably does need to cover off the whole question of access through 14 and 15. Or are we satisfied that it's not? Were the council to decide at some future point in time that we wanted to maintain the museum but sell off the town hall, having gone through all the processes that the settlement itself agrees, are we not then in a situation where there's a potential problem?
The management agreement actually regulates the use and management. At the point that the land interests were separated, there was a land registry document that dealt with access on that, in that ongoing circumstances. So it doesn't actually need to be regulated by the management agreement.
Right, so were that scenario to come about, that we decided we want to continue to operate the museum, sorry, the council, but clearly the subcommittee has an interest in this, where the council had decided it wanted to maintain the museum but sell off the town hall, the position of 14 and 15 being the entrance to the museum is not an encumbrance in any way. I use encumbrance in the general sense, not the legal sense.
Correct, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Fine.
Thank you.
The reason why it was proposed at one stage then that 14 and 15 should become the responsibility of this trust. Why was that at some stage?
I think simply because if you go back in time, the 14 and 15 Brand Street were a consideration that came after the original plans had been drawn up. So the there was a desire on the part of Hitchin Town Hall Limited to have a grander entrance, and they went down this route of purchasing 14 and 15 Brand Street, and then it became the entrance. Sorry, I've lost my train of thought.
I just asked you why was it ever proposed that it would be the responsibility of this trust?
I think simply because it formed the entrance to the trust part of the building.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, got it. Yes, it came on after the beginning of all this.
Perhaps if I could also assist. I'm only here watching, but I can help answer that question. So benefit to take and to direction of the Chief Executive. It was a point put forward by the community groups. They thought it would be better perceived within the town if they were gifting the land of 1415 to the trust rather than the council. That was where that thought process originated. And obviously it linked in with the trust land behind, so there was some logic attached to it. So that's where the idea stemmed from.
Thank you very much. Any more questions?
We're not to debate the actual agreement.
No. I mean, from our point of view, we've got to make sure that there's nothing in this that's detrimental to the trust, that everything is in accord with the trust objectives, and it's for the public benefit. Those are the three tests, aren't they, really? And I'm happy that they meet all that. This meets all those tests. Now, I think it would be time to be need to go to part two, don't we? Because the recommendations are all the same. So, unless you've any more to ask in part one, can I suggest that we start going into part two? So, the item 7 under section 100A of the Local Government Act 1972, the press and public be excluded from the meeting on the grounds that the following reports will involve the likely disclosure of exempt information as defined in paragraph 3 of part 1 of schedule 12A of the said Act. All in favour? Thank you very much. So we go into part 2. Okay, back to part 1. And the recommendations are that the Charities Subcommittee notes the proposal for the Council to acquire 14 and 15 Grand Street for a purchase price of £550,000. 2. Confirms that it has no objections to the settlement agreement referred to in this report. 3. Authorises the Council to execute the settlement agreement on behalf of the Trust. And 4. Delegates to the Service Director Customers, in consultation with the Trust lawyer and the Chairman of the Subcommittee, authority to review the management agreement entered into between the Hitchin Town Hall Gymnasium and Workman's Hall Trust and the Council, and to make any minor amendments to take account of the settlement agreement in the event that it is completed.
Just for completeness, do we need to add a request that those decisions are communicated to Cabinet tonight? Because it would be a relevant consideration to what they're, and none of us would be allowed to take part in it.
I was going to raise that question as to exactly how we communicate to Cabinet this evening the decisions that you've made this afternoon.
I think it's probably sufficient, assuming you're going to be there.
How we do that.
Yes, we won't be there.
Well, I think, therefore, we just add a further 2.5 that these decisions be communicated to Cabinet as part of their discussions tonight.
Can I ask another question? In 2.4, we refer to the Hitchin Town Hall Gymnasium and Workman's Hall Trust. I thought that had been subsumed into the council charities.
It's still a separate trust. This committee oversees several trusts that the council is responsible for.
Okay, I just wanted to.
Communicating, if I may, as lead officer for the charities, I'm happy to communicate with the Cabinet.
Fine. Thank you, Ian. Thank you. Do we all agree? Agreed.
Before you close the meeting.
Yes.
Is there to be another meeting of this committee to discuss other aspects, like King George V or anything like that, because it was a year ago since we last spoke about it.
There's another meeting scheduled for December, I think, where the annual accounts and will be.
I did foolishly ask if that we could have that added on to this meeting, but I was...
Unfortunately, we did not allow. I asked the same question, Chair.
This meeting's too long anyway.
I'm told we've got to come out on another cold, wet winter's day.
It's the 13th of December, Chairman.
13th of December. Yeah. Thank you very much, colleagues and officers. Thank
you. See you later.
Thank you for all your work on this. We're there, aren't we?
We are.
Yes, we are. Yes, we're looking forward to this point for years.